Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right. So here was our assignment from yesterday. Life is like stepping onto a boat that is about to sail out to sea and sink. If you've ever wondered why the practice of Zen is not more popular, that quote could go a long way toward answering the question. Ego will encounter that mental picture, scream yikes, and determine never to get on life's boat. What we're not told upon being subject to that decision, of course, is that in not boarding life's boat, we're already sunk. We have two choices, huddle in fear on the shore or have a glorious sail through the sea of life. Today, remind yourself often that you've chosen to get on board with life and commit to letting yourself thoroughly enjoy the ride. Remember, squalls, giant waves, torrential downpours, and gale force winds are part of the excitement of the journey. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller?
Oh, yes, let's.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
I can feel them. I can feel them heading our way.
First
Hello?
Caller?
There. Ah, very good. Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Can. Who's this?
This is Pat in Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, hello.
Just wanted to call in and tell you guys that we've had a snowstorm over here.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of surprised us. It's gotten a little bit heavier than I think we had planned for. But that snowy day gives you a lot of time to just sit and reflect on practice. I can't go anywhere, and I'm housebound, so everything is closed.
Might as well be present.
I'm being very, very present, and don't have anything really in general, specific to report from yesterday, but just kind of generally, the way the whole practice has affected my life over these past 7 years that I've been in it has been to help me to see how life absolutely supports me in every aspect. And as I'm getting older, it's right there holding my hand to help me navigate going into my older years. And and all of the different aspects of our practice, my heavens, it's just changed my life so completely. And I just love making a workshop out of all kinds of things. And last September, actually, I spent a week in the hospital. And when I first got to the emergency room, I was lying there, and there were all these people buzzing around trying to figure out, what they needed to do for me. And I realized I was going to be there for a while. And so I thought, how am I going to get through this? Because normally I would have been terrified at what was happening. Uh-huh. I had a gastric bleeder and was, close to bleeding to death. And I was lying there, I was thinking, how am I going to get through this? And Sherry, I swear to God, it sounded as just like if you had been standing there, I heard the word workshop.
Ah, isn't that grand?
Well, it was, because I thought, hey, that's a wonderful way to handle this, but what in the world can I do? Because I couldn't move. I had IVs all over me, so I said, about the only thing I can do is kind of compassionate awareness and being loving and compassionate with all these wonderful people who were trying to save my life, and I had realized I could see their name tags really very easily. They all wore name tags around their neck, and so I could call them by their first name and made sure that I was going to be just very profuse with the yes and please and thank you, and letting them know how much I appreciated what they were doing. And it turned into one of the most positive experiences of my life.
It probably was kind of a pretty big bright spot for them, too.
Well, I know when I was in I was in a critical care unit for 4 days and then 3 days up on the eighth floor just to check everything out. And I noticed that no one ever came into my room without a big smile. And I made sure I sent that big smile right back, and I made sure I was being kind, because I'd hear people down the hall, you know, yelling at the nurses or, you know, yelling or being out, a lot of more just out of their heads. But they still, I know that those people that work in the hospital and help save people's lives don't get the appreciation that they deserve.
Yeah. You know, Pat, what you're saying reminds me of the quote, I think it was from yesterday, that I think it was Henry Miller, the only one who said yes, 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 and yes again to life can face death. I don't know what he said, but I would say with equanimity. And that's really what you're pointing at here, that saying yes to everything yes and with loving kindness and compassion and care and concern, that's what makes everything not only possible for us, but joyful. So that even a life-threatening event, when viewed as a workshop, when there is attention to not just what I'm going through, but the people around me and being grateful for them and letting them know that, it just changes everything.
It truly did, so, Sherry. It truly did. Okay. I did not have
getting
one.
Older, not a problem.
Yeah, I did not have one moment in the hospital when I was afraid or even worried. I just was lying there waiting to see what was going to happen, what life was going to drop in next, and what next person was going to come in so that I could, you know, give them some TLC back. And it was fun. It really got to where it was really being fun.
I love it. All right. Well, thanks for telling
us about that. I truly want both of you to know, and everybody in Sangha, I love listening to everyone. This has just been the most fantastic experience having Project Joy. And yeah, on a snowy day, what could be better?
What could be better?
Yep.
All right. Well, you keep enjoying it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Pat. What a practice success story, right, Sherry? The thing that I loved so much is that the TLC back, that is what conditioning robs us of. When it becomes about me, there's absolutely no awareness about anything or anyone else.
Just such
a sense of isolation.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that I was struck most by in that that tale is that ego would say, okay, this practice stuff that you do, all this Pollyanna, happy thing, that's nice until you come to real life circumstances, and then there are just things that, where it doesn't apply. Well,
yeah,
there's a story of how that is simply not true. You know, I die in the next moment, and I want to be here, and I want to be in loving kindness and compassion every minute of life unfolding.
Yes, exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly so. All right, here is our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Lorraine.
Hey, Lorraine.
Hello there.
Hi. I am just loving what I'm having an experience of today, getting in the queue. I practiced with the assignment this morning, and I actually practiced with it in meditation, sort of looking at, you know, the experience of life, like the experience of awakeness, and thinking about the metaphor of life as being on the river and out in the sea, and well, that's happening just right here on the meditation cushion. And I felt all this energy and connection to that, and I had the idea that I'd call in today. And then I did my morning work, and just around the time that the call was about to happen, you know, it was like, oh, well, that energy and that connection from working with it this morning, well, that's gone now. You've been working and in your head, and so you won't put yourself in the queue, you know, and I just got to see so much in catching that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, director of my life, for pointing out to me how I am and what I'm doing and what I feel and what I'm going to do next. Wow. Okay. You're fired.
Yes, exactly. Because it's the antithesis of the experience of being in life and being in the sea, of saying, well, rather than take this opportunity to go back to that energy and that awakeness that I was practicing then, rather than say, yes, I'll practice that now, you know, to have a conversation about, well, no, not now, you know. it was just really fun to see.
Yeah, it is fun to see because authenticity is, in essence, saying now, now, now. And ego is saying later, later, later. And the difference between those two is, one, a joyful, excited life. It just as Pat was indicating, not because everything is going really well and I have everything I want and I'm really comfortable here, but no, whatever life circumstances, I'm here for it, and it's very exciting to be alive. Or we could be with ego, where something is going to happen later and we fail to realize that actually what it's doing to me right now is miserable.
Yes. Yes, and what I saw working with the assignment this morning in the meditation was just what you were saying about the excitement of being alive, and my meditation practice is one of the commitments that I kind of fall on and off the wagon of, and I keep doing it anyway because I, you know, think, well, this is a key part of all the instruction I've ever been given, that even if I don't know why, I'm, you know, what I'm doing or what I'm trying to get, that's not what's going on here. I just do this 15 minutes that as the minimum of what I said I would do, because this is a core part. And, you know, to have that experience of the excitement of being alive today during meditation, just sitting there, you know, not doing anything that would meet conditioning standards of what the sea of life, but to get to have that experience, like sitting in my little office on my orange cushion, was just a perfect reminder of why I sit and do it. So
yes,
thank you.
Yes. I was writing to somebody in the email class yesterday. What they were describing was something along the lines of, but when I come home exhausted from work, do I still have to sit for 20 minutes? I think theirs was, it's exactly what you're saying. So I'm not going to be able to meet ego standards for a meditation. So I won't do it until I'm in a place where I can meet those standards. And does anybody know that's going on? No, it takes a long time to get it. That's actually what's happening, right? And so my suggestion was, how about if you practice having an exhausted meditation? Mm. Now, what if an exhausted meditation is just absolutely delicious? What if it's just the best thing you ever experienced? Right? And so that idea of if I'm not feeling X, then I can't Y, that's what you're going beyond. No, I just do this. You know, if I'm falling asleep, I have a falling asleep meditation. If I'm restless and want to get on, then I'm having a restless meditation. It doesn't matter. I just do it. I do it because it's who I am.
Yes, and not doing it is choosing to miss out on the excitement of being alive and
yes.
Whatever alive is like at that moment.
That exactly. Whatever alive is like in that moment, that's what we want to be here for. That's what it means to be human.
Yes.
Yeah. All
thank
right.
You.
Well, thank you so much, Loren. Thank you.
Bye. Bye,
bye-bye.
Everyone.
Thanks, Loren. Oh, I just can't contain myself, Sherry. That experience. Yes. Because, you know, so many of us quit because we don't meet ego standards. And that is not the point, that every time that I'm told not to do something or that I'm not doing something the way I should be doing it, it's just an opportunity to recommit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To just say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So you're not meeting standards. Oh, thank you. That's right. That's right. I'm not meeting standards. That's a great reminder. Thank you. Breathe in, breathe out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and we were looking at it in group last night at the monastery that, you know, attention wanders. When we can look at it and say, that's good information. Do I if I want to train the mind, then I accept that attention wanders and then sit more in order to train the mind so that attention doesn't wander, right? If that's what I choose. But to go to
yes.
self-hate about that, to say that, oh, there's something wrong with me because I can never meditate, it's what conditioning does to us in order to ensure that we never train the attention.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the irony, the one that people, if they stick with it, get to experience is, it doesn't actually matter what's going on in meditation. It really doesn't. The magic is going to happen if you just sit down. Sit down
yes.
and do your best to sit still, and it's going to happen to you. That's
yes.
what ego knows. That's why
yes.
it's never giving up its vigilant pursuit of just quit, just quit, just quit,
yes.
just quit. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Alicia. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes,
yes,
Alicia.
Hi. Hi. Well, you know, I'm normally calling from Seattle, but I'm now calling from New Zealand.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alicia, you are one of the clearest connections that we have. You are clearer than somebody who's calling from down the block. So,
isn't it amazing?
That is extraordinary. I bet you would not sound this close to us if you were in Seattle.
Wow.
So,
wow.
There you
well,
are in New
I'm
Zealand.
Outside.
Is it as beautiful as they say?
It is. I mean, it is. It's phenomenal. We came here, we've been here a few weeks, and so I really just called because I was up early and I thought, oh, I'm in time, you know, to call, and we're at a campsite, we're camping. And so I'm just calling to participate and say hello, but this is a beautiful place.
Well, it's funny, I actually, to me anyway, or interesting or whatever that kind of thing is, I was just thinking about it this morning. I was actually recording about it this morning, looking at just being where I am, and it's so beautiful, and I just love it so, and thinking that mm-hmm. probably the only place on earth that I haven't been that I would like to go to before I die is New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
rumor has it, it's as beautiful as where I live all the time.
Well, and that's interesting because there are, I was thinking about the ways that it does remind me of, I mean, I know you don't live at the monastery, but it reminds me of the monastery in the...
Well, actually, when I was, do live there.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay. I do. But it was, you know, it's when I was there, it was green, but it's not that. It's, I mean, of course, the topography is a little bit similar, but it's like here, and perhaps it's because I'm traveling, but you feel so, you know, most of the places we've gone are not very populated. And so it's quiet. There aren't a lot of people, and you feel quite disconnected, but in a really good way. There isn't, that's one thing that's really surprised me actually about this trip is how it does, you know, being outside of, I think just being outside of your own culture and life, it does feel, it's like that monastery experience of you've left, you know, the daily stuff and now you're just in a different, it's just different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nice.
More aware, more present. Yeah. Just more here.
Less yeah. Well, mm-hmm. It's true. Although I have to add, this is so funny. You know, people before we left, oh, that's going to be wonderful. It's, you know, that idea of vacation, of course, is always lovely. But I was thinking to myself, it's not like, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate stays behind. You know,
oh, no.
It comes.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah, right there. Not even in the suitcase, right? Was on the
no,
plane.
No, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the plane. Yeah. Well, and so it's been really fun to see the ways, like, oh, you know, the standards I've gotten to see. You know, you just see the ways it creeps in and tries to, you know, kind of ruin things. But I'm just so grateful for this practice because I can say, oh, yeah, oh, okay, standards. Yeah, I'm not going to do those right now. Or, you know, just
right. Well,
I get to see.
You know what you're saying is for all of us to apply who aren't, you know, traveling or in glorious places right this second, to do things that are different. You know, ego wants us, it'll idealize a vacation, but mostly so that it can be there and ruin it. But to mm-hmm. to be doing things that are different often because of exactly what you're saying. When we're in a different situation, different circumstances, ego only has the same program. And it increases our chances of seeing it as a program. Because it'll say, because that's all it can do is say, it'll say things that are completely inappropriate. When we're at home, we don't notice it because the circumstances are the same enough for us that the chances that what it's saying to us isn't going to be jarring are really increased. But when we get into a new situation, the chances that we're going to see and hear it as the program that it is, those chances go up for us.
Well, and yeah, that is so well said because I had a real revelation, right? I really saw something in that process of, you know, we with the kids, you know, with camping and we're kind of driving, we don't have a plan every day. And so we ended up once in one of those places where there's, you know, the campground was closed and there's only one restaurant and, you know, there were people, it was loud and there were some people who were intoxicated in the restaurant, but we had to, you know, we had to eat. So we brought the kids in there and I heard a voice, you know, assessing safety, you know, of the situation, like, you know, how, and, a voice talking about, guns, you know, am I safe here? You know, could I be shot? I mean, I heard it say that. And, it's like, well, no, there's no guns here. And so that's,
that
you know,
happens
that's
at home.
Right. But I think what has happened to me at home is that the voice is always, it's constantly asking me that. I just wasn't hearing it. And it's kind of a scary, you know, it's a scary question.
Yeah.
And And so I realize I think I'm being followed by these, you know, voices that are always assessing safety.
Well,
but we were fine, of course.
Attempting, right, always not assessing safety, but always saying something that will get your attention.
That
will
right.
take
that,
your attention
yeah, right.
out of where you are and give your attention to the voices. And that's so important to realize. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be aware that it's going on. In fact, karmic conditioning does its best work when we're not aware, when it's just subliminal. There's a constant, you're unsafe, this is dangerous, be careful,
that's right.
I'm watching out for you, you need to look to me to know what to do and how to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, it's
yeah,
fun
it's
to think
great.
Of you there. I love it. And
yes, thank you for being there. So this is great to call.
Yeah, well, thanks for connecting with us on the other side mm-hmm. of the world. It's very exciting.
I know. Well, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank
okay.
you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Alicia. Sherry, we have time for one more caller.
All right.
Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yay, it's Ramita. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ramita.
I am so glad to get to talk with you. Sherry, I am so overflowing with gratitude for the recent email class, and I only got one submission in. But your response to my post, it was like exactly the 2x4 upside the head that I needed. It wasn't
all
that
right.
violent, but it woke me
well,
up.
Well, I'm glad, though. I'm glad when one of those blows is delivered that the recipient receives it with gratitude. That's always reassuring to me. So good.
Well, it was spot on, and my post was about what I thought was an undulation, and you said, you know, this really is probably something that's a process of self-hate, and if you look, you've seen it elsewhere. Oh, my gosh, a floodgate of different aspects of my life where I see the same self-improvement process going on, and my goodness, I've been recording it. I've been listening to it. I've been recording about it. I felt attention move out of the head into the heart, and it's been there. It's been a touchstone. My heart's been a touchstone since I got that message, and I am having such a remarkable experience with this. I am just delighted.
I'm so glad. I am so glad. And that's what practice it's a funny way to phrase it, but that's what practice sets us up for, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You've been practicing for a long time. It's a long time. You've been looking. You've been seeing. But it hasn't
yes.
quite come together. And then
exactly.
in a moment, there it is. Ah, got it. See it. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
I've been working with my coach and sort of skimming around the edges of that. You know, the same coach over a period of time is a wonderful thing because that person gets to see the patterns that I may not be as aware of. But your response crystallized, because he's probably been giving me guidance for a long time, too. Your guidance just crystallized the whole thing. And, oh, my gosh, it's, I don't know, what's the most pertinent part? Oh, well, the bottom line, even though I did not get to do another post for the email class, I wrote a 50-word response. I'm going to send it to my coach. And that, again, is crystallizing what I've seen. I actually had a memory come from third grade that was just a poignant scenario of the exact same self-hating process. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. It's every time I see that conditioning is taking me away and I'm listening to a voice, I mean, you gave me this simple, clear recipe. Stop listening to the voice. And I say, okay, I can do that. Sherry says I can do it. I can do that. And I've been doing it.
Uh-huh. Wow. You know, I want to underline one other thing about it, just because It's a place where conditioning really does cause a lot of damage in lives. So there's something going on, and you know, it probably manifests as an orientation or a set of behaviors in my life. And I'm in relationship with it, and I feel bad about it, and it's hard or it's painful or it's whatever it is. And what I'm trained by conditioning to do is never go straight at it. You know, never confront it and go into it and get to the bottom of it. And what you're describing is a process of doing that. Even though it doesn't look like it's straight ahead, right? Because there's the coach over there, and there's the this over there, and there's that workshop and that retreat, and but it is going into it, going after it, not in a, you know, not in a hateful way, but in a, there's something there that needs to be freed, something that needs to be healed, and it's the whatever it is at the bottom of the well that all mm-hmm. of this ego conditioning is waving its arms about and that sort of thing. And we're, through paying attention, through sticking with practice, we get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to what that is. And when we get there, when we see it for what it is, we see the layers that have been piled onto it for years, right? And we're free of it. It's healed.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So just infinite gratitude for the guides and the Sangha and email class and this nugget of gold that I am working with. And you're right, I'm not letting go. I'm keeping at it. So deep gushing.
There you go. And you got RL to make sure you don't forget.
I'm doing it.
Very good thing. Yep, yep. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much, Ramita.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ramita. It's so apropos to the quote we're practicing with, right, Sherry, that when we step onto the boat and we set to sail, we're sunk. And that's exactly the sinking that we're talking about, the surrender of what it is that keeps us from enjoying the glorious sail through life.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're out there. It's like a Pat on her snowy day, right?
Yeah.
Now's the time to face all of this.
Yeah, to sink the boat and realize we can float. Anyway, here's our assignment for the day, and it's Friday, so we'll see everybody on Monday. But here's the assignment. At the innermost core of all loneliness is a deep and powerful yearning for union with one's lost self. Mm-hmm. Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is the illusion of being separate from life. We identify with ego and we feel alone and lonely. The unabating, droning conversation and conditioned mind makes us feel lonely. We're told we're alone and lonely because there's something wrong with us. No one likes or loves us. We don't fit in, or we don't belong. We hear that propaganda constantly, and finally we believe it and accept it as true. It isn't. As soon as we turn attention away from the brainwashing loop, we realize it's not possible to be alone. Separate from life is obviously a completely foolish notion. It's often a pretty quick trip to the clarity that there's nothing except those voices that would want us to feel alone or lonely. Today, each time you come to presence, make note of the fact that there is nothing separating you from the entire universe. Record and listen.
That was a nice moment right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, deep gusho for everything, Sherry, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Monday.
We're going to miss them until Monday. So, we'll just keep practicing and doing our best. Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Go happy.